Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, and you're listening to the Indie Corner, the UK's number one wrestling podcast. You've made the right choice. Take it from me.
Hello guys, welcome to episode 81 of the Indie Corner with myself, Stuart Rogers. It's late on a Friday night as of recording this. It's been a bit of a nightmare this week anyway, but you know, I just thought I'd get something done. The show won't be too long, but you know, we'll just do what we do. Have some news and announcements, etc. Plus we've got Liam Slater coming on, who was at the Tidal Wrestling versus CZW show on Wednesday night, and he'll be doing a little review of that for us. And coming back at the end of the show, we'll have Justin DiVigilio, and he'll be back with his US Indie news. As a recording issue, you know, I'm having major issues getting onto the Indie Corner website itself to add stuff and edit stuff and things like that. Hopefully you can still get on there to read what's in there, because some great stuff been going up there lately. And after having the likes of, you know, Chris Travis and Nathan Cruz right on here in the past, this week saw the debut column of Xander Cooper go up, so I hope you can check that out, as long with all the other stuff. So what we'll do now is we're just going to the Tidal vs CZW review from Liam Slater. So listening, guys, here we go.
Now is the time for me to rise to my feet. Wipe your spit from my face, wipe these tears from my eyes. Now is the time for me to rise to my feet. Wipe your spit from my face, wipe these tears from my eyes. I've got to take my life back, one chance to make it right.
Hello, this is Liam Slater. This Wednesday I was at TCW vs CZW Against All Odds. The show took place at the Leeds University Union in the Riley Smith Hall. Approximately there'd be about 150 there, maybe 200, maybe a bit less. It was a bit of a rough estimate that. There was a few seats, but for the majority of people it was a standing affair. The building itself looked actually really, really nice. The lighting setup was excellent. There was a big, large screen that had a live feed of the ring projected onto it. And it was a really good atmosphere to start off with. There was a lot of chatter. I think a lot of people were excited to see the CZW guys, but also quite a lot of the English talent. There is a CZW show with the Southside crew over the next weekend, and I think that this would be a prelude, maybe, or a chance to see it for the people who are up in the north who don't usually get to see that sort of stuff. The first match on was an opener, and it was Dan James, the Armbar Superstar, against Sean Only. Both of these lads are local. Sean comes from Birkenhead originally, but now lives in Leeds, and Dan lives in Leeds. Obviously, both these guys aren't CZW guys. This was just a general opener. The reasoning for this was that the doors were opening quite early, so they wanted a match. I don't want to say to pad time, but to allow people a bit of extra leeway in getting there. Originally, this show was meant to be at the Cockpit. However, because the Cockpit has now closed down due to maintenance issues, it was moved to the Union. So anybody who had planned I'm going to the Cockpit, which is a two-minute walk away from the train station, now had to travel up to the Union, which is a 20-minute walk away from the station. The match itself was very solid. It was a slow start, and I think because both of the guys were unknown to the regular Tidal crowd and also the people who had just come to see CZW, it was a bit of a slow intro to them. Both guys are very solid. Dan James is known as the Armbar Superstar because he does armbars, and Sean Only does an MMA gimmick, which both come through. And once they'd really picked up, and once the crowd had sort of seen that, they began to get more into it. There was a high-paced counter-for-counter sequence that really picked the crowd up. Dan James did a tribute to Kurt Angle while doing Kurt Angle's entrance theme as he was doing an Angle Slam, which the crowd really enjoyed, and they reacted quite big to that. It was a good solid opener. The second match was the Teabag Death match featuring Leon Lazarus and Shane Strickland. Shane is probably one of the new generation of the US indie talents. He's very, very good, very athletic. He does all his flips, but he also knows how to work. And Liam dances to the Venga Boys. It's fairly self-explanatory. The match itself was quite entertaining. There was a lot of tea-related puns throughout the crowd, and they seemed really into it. There was a shower of tea bags at the end. The finishing moments of the match involved Liam Lazarus pouring tea bags into the ring, such as Abyss does with thumbtacks, but instead it was with tea bags. Shane Strickland went for a spiral tap and missed and landed in the tea bags. And then there was the Venga Buster from Liam Lazarus. Used to be known as the Lazarus Slice. There's been a change of name. The third match on was the women's match for the night. That was Violet O'Hara versus Kimberly. It was a very hard-hitting contest. Kimberly is probably one of the hardest-hitting females that I've ever seen in a ring, and Violet does pack a punch as well, to say that she is only about 3 foot tall. A solid encounter between the two. The only downside to it particularly was that Violet walked away with an injured arm, so hopefully for her it's not as serious as first thought. The initial thought was that it was broken. Hopefully maybe it's at the worst just a strain. It puts a dampener on that match, really, because it was a solid contest and a really enjoyable one. They both showcased exactly what they can do, and the crowd were into it as well and very receptive to both of them. The fourth match of the night, which was the first half main event, was Rampage Brown, versus DJ Hyde, and this was for the Title Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. It's a bit of a mouthful, that. Originally, this was set to be the main event of the entire night, but due to some incidents that happened at ICW, Rampage Brown wasn't as fit as first expected, so they didn't want to put the pressure of a full main event on him. Having said that, it could have easily been a main event match. It did deliver. Rampage usually works as a villain. However, because of how dislikable DJ Hyde is as a person, Rampage came out as a good guy. Now, this has sort of been happening more and more at title shows and across the country at independent shows, where people are slowly beginning to realise that Rampage Brown, despite being a big nasty man, is one heck of a wrestler. One of the best, not only in Europe, but in the entire world. He stood toe-to-toe with Samoa Joe. He had a great match with Team 3D, and he just goes from strength to strength every time. How the WWE didn't keep him is beyond a mystery to me. So it was an all-out brawl, really. DJ Hyde called Rampage out. He's called him certain names, and the crowd didn't particularly like that. Rampage said he's a man of few words, threw the mic in the air, and smacked DJ Hyde right in the face. And that pretty much set the tone for the match. They brawled not only outside of the ring, but also outside of the venue into the main hall of the Union. If you've ever been in the Union, as you walk through the door and there's like a big open space, they brawled into that area. There was a recycling bin involved at one point. And yeah, it was just a bit chaotic. There seems to be a current trend at Title Championship Wrestling of going outside At the cockpit, there was Liam Lazarus versus Kid Fight, followed by Rampage Brown and El Ligero, who all went outside at one point during the night. I quite enjoy it, to be honest. I think it's a nice bit of a change, a nice change of scenery. The only problem is for the commentary team, they can't see anything, but that's only commentary, so it doesn't really matter. The live feel of it, like, really brought people up. DJ Hyde is renowned for not selling chops. Rampage obviously knew this going in, and you could sort of see that as tough as DJ Hyde is, those chops were breaking the threshold, which just proves how tough of a man Rampage Brown is. DJ Hyde kicked out of a pile driver very early on in the match, and then the finish of the match was a pile driver followed by another pile driver. So how DJ Hyde walked out without a broken neck, I don't know. This is a hard-hitting affair. Two big chunky guys, but Rampage Brown came out the winner in the end and retained the belt. We then went into the interval. That was 30 minutes. There was a chance to talk to some of the CZW guys who were stood on the merchandise, and some of the UK guys as well who sell their merchandise. There was also a bar available. It was a plus 14 event, if I remember correctly. So it was a fairly adult environment. But in saying that, it wasn't raucous. It was just a nice adult environment that people could enjoy. And I think a lot of people enjoyed talking to each other. During the interval, I spotted Stone Cold, The Undertaker, and a few more WWE wrestlers. Obviously, they were in fancy dress. I'm going to say, for the sake of being PG, that it was a balloon on Stone Cold's head. However, it may have been something similar to a balloon, if you catch my drift. So there was a 30-minute interval. We then came back for three matches, which you can consider main events, pretty much, on any card in the world. The first match back was Joseph Connors versus Drew Gulak. I didn't catch the name of Drew's faction that he's the leader of, but he came out in like almost like a marching band jacket with a cape, and he looked like a bit like a superhero. Now, I'm not too up on the CZW storylines, but you could tell that a couple of people in the crowd were, and they really responded quite well to the jacket. And then Joseph Connors came out, who's vastly underrated in the UK, to a mixed response. People are used to seeing Connors work as a villain, so it was quite an even match, to be honest. But there was a mixed reception for both of them. It wasn't quite as clear as, say, Liam Lazarus versus Strickland Shane, where... Shane Strickland. That was quite a clear-cut one. And also Rampage Brown and DJ Hyde, that was quite a clear-cut good guy, bad guy dynamic. This one wasn't, and it actually proved that in the match. For my estimation, one of the most unique matches that I've seen of the year, and definitely worth checking out if you weren't there on the night. It was just hold for hold, almost hark back to the old British style. And in honesty, it probably wasn't even Joe who made it like that. Drew's renowned for being a wrestler. He comes out without any knee pads on, and he has that old wrestler vibe to him. And pushed Joe into a match that he wasn't particularly familiar with. But yeah, like, there was an exchange of holds which resulted in Drew pulling on the shoulder of Joseph Connors, which we know has a good number of injuries on it, and he's quite cautious about that. There was a point where Joe was working on Drew's leg, which has played up in Drew's past. Just a constant back and forth of headlocks. There was one point in the match which is probably one of my favourite moments of the night, where Joe had Drew in a headlock. They then pushed off as if they were going for the run and tackle. It wasn't that. He pushed him off. He went down to sleep. Did Drew Joe hooked onto the ropes and then dropped down and took him in a headlock, which was then reversed into a head scissors, I think. I'm not doing it justice there. It was like, it was the first time that I'd ever seen that. I consider myself quite up on my wrestling things, and I don't tend to be wowed by new things, but that was definitely new to me. I spoke to Joe after the show, and he said that it was something that he saw from Shawn Michaels. That match alone is probably worth buying the DVD just because of how unique it is. Drew Gulak got the win in the end of that. It was a fast number of reversals into a sunset flip. Joe Connors went for the vault. Drew dropped down, caught him, and into the sunset flip, and that was the finish. And it was a unique end for a unique match. The semi-main event, I think it was announced as, was El Ligero versus Rich Swann. Rich is very good for just bringing a crowd up. He comes out to all night long. He dances, he sings, he likes to interact with the crowd, and the crowd really ate it up. I was there with my girlfriend, and now she loves Rich Swann, which I'm quite worried about. The match itself, just before the match happened, the ref flashed the crowd. Dan Eagles was reffing. I think he'll admit he's not the most slender man, and he flashed the crowd, and they responded quite well. El Ligero didn't. He walked off into the back, and I'm pretty sure he was sick. He was gipping when he came back to the ring. It's not something that he probably wanted to see. He'd much prefer if it was a female flashing, I would assume. The match itself was fantastic, fast-paced, everything you would expect from Rich Swann and El Ligero. Extremely well orchestrated. Rich Swann does some incredibly athletic stuff. The standing 450, the jump up Hurricanrana, not Hurricanrana. Yeah, Hurricanrana, the jump up Hurricanrana that he does from the person sat in the buckle, and El Ligero with his C4L and his high flying moves. There was one move that El Ligero did that was sort of like a Celtic cross, where he sort of picked him up. And then drop down. I'm not sure what happened there. I don't know if that's a new move for El Ligero or if that was just something that happened in the spur of the moment, but that was different from Ligero. Ligero got the win with the C4L as well. I think the crowd probably wanted that to go on all night, really. And we're probably a little bit disappointed the Rich Swann didn't win so they could sing along to All Night Long again. They'll be next time, though, I'm sure of it. The final match of the night was for the CZW Heavyweight Championship. Sorry. That was contested between Martin Kirby and Biff Busick. Martin Kirby was announced from Fersk, which is probably the least violent place on earth, and also got a good pop out of the commentator Aaron Beatup because he's also from Fersk, as he seems to mention on every single DVD. Biff came out to like some punk song, but like it had a great energy. I'm not too sure what the punk song was. I'm not trying to bury it there or anything. I just don't know the name of it. But like it had a great energy to it. Like, and Biff had a really good energy to it. I started calling him Wolfman, just purely because he sort of has a demeanor of a wolf. He's also a bit hairy, but he just seems to have this animalistic nature to him. The match itself was extremely solid. Everything you'd expect from a Martin Kirby match, and everything you'd expect from a Biff Busick match if you're familiar with him. Maybe it suffered a little bit from coming on after two matches that were extremely well received in different ways. But it was for the title, so you can see why that would be the main event. This was scheduled to be the first half main event before there was the changes to the card. Sorry, I'm just struggling to go back through it. The main focal point of the match seemed to be Biff Busick going for the half and half suplex, which Kirby kept reversing and kept going to his moves. He hit the stop in Seguri. He went for a Fairmaster at one point, and that got counted into a powerbomb. There was a brawl on the outside, if I remember correctly. Biff at one point yelled, "I'm the champ," in his Wolfie accent before hitting like a pretty vicious uppercut as well. Biff went over with a half and half suplex. It was very well received. Again, like, I'm sort of struggling to pick things out, just not because the match itself wasn't any good, because it was extremely good. It was just that the amount of things that happened on the show, it's hard to pick out bits as it goes on. I think you can just attribute that to the amount of things on the show. Overall, like, it was a fantastic event. Hopefully the people that were there for CZW stay for Tidal. The Union building is now its permanent home in Leeds because the cockpit shut down. And yeah, overall, a very enjoyable show. The setup looked great. The matches were all top-notch. And it's probably one of, if not the best, Tidal Championship Wrestling shows in its short history. So yeah, I've been Liam Slater. That was my experience at TCW versus CZW Against All Odds on Wednesday. Back over to you guys.
It's yourself. This is Griddle, and you're listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner. Hear you.
Thanks to Liam for that. Appreciate him coming on to review that for us. What we'll do now is get on to the news, starting with Grand Pro Wrestling. They return November 21st back at the Rails Club in Hindley Wigan with Final Fight. And then, so as of recording this, is GPW British Champion El Ligero against T-Bone. In the last man standing match, Damon Lee taking on Nate Travis. And in a loser moves house, loser leaves Tesco match, Ashton Smith against Martin Kirby. That sounds interesting indeed. And the more recently released match is a great sounding match. 2 out of 3 falls pitting Jack Gallagher against CJ Banks. For tickets, head over to grandprowrestling.co.uk/shop. Hull Wrestling are back on October the 17th at the Polish Club in Derby with Future 2. Announced for this one so far are the following. Tyler Bate against LJ Heron. Joseph Connors against Max Angelus. Stevie Mitchell against Money Benjamin. And there's a match involving Kane Arnell as well. They also have the Evolution show coming up on November the 1st. This will be Evolution 15. And it will feature the main event of the Hunter Brothers going up against the Hooligans, Zack and Roy Knight. And then on November the 8th... they have another show, obviously Evolution 16. And I can exclusively announce for that show on November the 8th, the main event we'll see for the first time in England, El Ligero taking on Jack Jester. For details of this show and all the other shows, head over to haltwrestling.co.uk, where you can pick up tickets, DVDs and all the information you need. On to Kamikaze Pro now. Bank on It 2 is on October the 26th here in Birmingham. And now all the participants have been announced for the Money in the Bank match. So the guys involved are as follows. Robbie X, Dynamite Pete Dunne, The One Damian Dunne, Chris Brooks, Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews. Some great high flyers there, so that should be a really good match indeed. Also on the card, you're going to see Kamikaze Pro Champion Ryan Small take on Hardcore Holly. There's a Scat Monkey on a Pole match, so it's going to see Sebastian Radclaw up against Marshall X. In a ladies match, you're going to see Nixon Newell take on Leah Von Dutch. And I can exclusively announce a new member to the Kamikaze Pro roster, who will be making his debut for them on November the 22nd at Frostfight 2, and that's going to be the one and only Marty Skrull. So look out for Kamikaze Pro on Facebook and on Twitter at Kamikaze Pro UK for more details on the promotion as a whole. On to PCW now. They are back on October the 31st with Fright Night 3. Pretty much the full card is announced now. There's a few spots left unannounced, but here's what's on offer on the night. In the four-way match, it's going to be Zach Diamond Gibson taking on Charlie Garrett, taking on Rich Swann, and taking on a mystery opponent. You've got Mark Andrews taking on Al Ligero. Madman Manson and Dave Rain will be teaming up to take on Paul London and Brian Kendrick. Got Joey Hayes up against the Grim Reaper. No idea what that's about or who that's going to be. Cruiserweight champion Bubblegum will be defending against Martin Kirby. Noam Dar has issued an open challenge, so it'll be interesting to see who PCW have booked to take on Noam in that one. The tag team champions team single going up against a mystery team. And in the main event, the PCW heavyweight champion Chris Masters will be defending against Dave Mastiff. They've also been announcing more matches for the Super Show weekend, and over that weekend you're going to see Noam Dar against Adam Cole, plus a six-way match pitting Noam Dar against Mark Andrews, Cedric Alexander, Dean Allmark, Joey Hayes and ACH. Head over to PrestonCityWrestling.com for more details on this one. FPW UK have a huge show on October the 24th, probably their biggest show ever. Let's have a look what's on offer for this one. You've got Bob Holly, or Hardcore Holly, going up against Shaw Samuels. Chris Masters going up against Joel Masters. Chavo Guerrero going up against Al Ligero. In an all or nothing career and title match, FPW champion RJ Singh will be taking on Greg Boyge. In a pumpkin on a pole match, the Mexican Eagle will be taking on Terry Stryker. The FPW tag team champions, the Sword of Essex, will be taking on Bad Influence, who of course are Frank Kazarian and the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels. And then there's going to be a 5-on-5 match of survival, and it's going to see Joel Redman teaming up with the Alpha Males, Dave Conran and Al Aguilera, going up against Martin Stone, the London Riots, Marty Skrull and Martin Kirby. Head over to fpwuk.com for more details on this one. So that's basically it for me for this week. As I said, it's going to be a short show. Just have a quick break, and then we're back with Justin DiVigilio with his US Indie News. Get the plugs out of the way. Follow us on Twitter, at The Indie Corner. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheIndieCorner. Again, check out TheIndieCorner.com. Hopefully that gets sorted out in the near future, and I can start adding more stuff to it. And of course, support us by going to theindiecorner.bigcartel.com and purchasing, you know, DVDs off there. Anything bought off there, you know, will help to go to the running of the podcast and the website. Again, always I'm working on trying to get interviews for the site. I'm supposed to do one this week, but that didn't come to fruition. But hopefully, get some interviews done in the future. So, okay, then that's it, guys. Like I say, after the break, it will be Justin with his US news. So, until next week. Take care, guys.
Welcome, guys. Justin DiVigilio here to give this week's edition of the US Indie News segment. We have news from Lucha Underground, Evolve, House of Hardcore, Kenny Omega, ROH. The upcoming events this week, ROH and Michael Elgin's situation. And that's pretty much the news we have. So let's get into it. As Lucha Underground has been taping the past month and a half, I believe, to have episodes in line for their big premiere on the El Rey Network at the end of October. And some of the stars that will be appearing on Lucha Underground are Ricochet, John Morrison from the WWE, B-Boy, Famous B, Matt Cross, and Chavo Guerrero. Also, it is being reported, I've only seen on PWPonderings.com that Brian Cage has signed with Lucha Underground, but that has not been made official yet. So, now let's go to, now going to Evolve and DGUSA news, as the Gabe Sapolsky has officially announced their tour of China, which will consist over November 10th in Yajing City, November 12th in Yimi City, November 14th in Chengdu City, and November 16th in Beijing, which is most likely going to be the biggest show, as Beijing's the biggest city in China. The talent roster that has been signed are DGUSA champion Ricochet, premier athlete Blair of Anthony Nice, Caleb Conley, and Trent Beretta, and Su Young. Shine champion Eva Lise, Johnny Gargano, Rich Swann, AR Fox, Timothy Thatcher, Biff Busick, The Bravados, The Colony, Chuck Taylor, Mia Yim, Allison Kay, Earl Cooter, Jody Christofferson, plus live event hosts Lacey, Larry Dallas, referee Jamie Tucker, and referee John Barber. This is going to be a pretty big week of shows for Evolve, as the China tour has been in the works for about 2 years, and they officially announced their roster. So that should be awesome week of shows, especially for those guys who are getting to travel over to China to wrestle. So now to the House of Hardcore news, as Tommy Dreamer announced the official card that will take place, which is House of Hardcore 7, We Are Coming Home, Nuff Said, November 15th, 2014, at the former ECW Arena in South Philly. It's a tag team match, Hardys versus the Young Bucks, most likely the main event. Old School Extreme Rules match, Ethan Carter III versus Tommy Dreamer. Open challenge to any wrestler, Austin Aries versus No One Knows Yet. Tag team match, The Wolves versus Harry Smith and Lance Archer. Singles match, Christian New York versus Brian Myers. Singles match, Eddie Kingston versus Jigsaw, plus CW Anderson, Velvet Sky, and more. Dreamer also announced via Twitter that him and Beulah will be appearing for the last time on this show, and that this show will be on iPay-Per-View, which is a huge step for House of Hardcore, as it's only their 7th event. I hope everybody buys this show, as there's at least 3 must-see matches, in my opinion, and it has the Hardys, Young Bucks, and Wolves on the same show at the same time, which is pretty amazing. Now let's get on to the matches for Adam Cole, who made the matches for Mike Bennett's Bachelor Party. The matches are Jay Lethal and Truth Martini versus ROH Tag Champs Red Dragon, ACH versus Cedric Alexander, Mark Briscoe versus Roger Strong, Jay Briscoe versus The Man Beast Rhino. The main event, as Jay Briscoe is defending his world title against Rhino, should be a very interesting matchup, as Rhino's obviously what his nickname is, The Man Beast, and Jay Briscoe is also a beast himself. So that should be a real interesting match, and hopefully ACH and Cedric Alexander have a better match than they did at Field of Honor, as I believe that match got cut short due to ACH having a neck injury, due to when he goes for the springboard, and Cedric called him, hit him a Michinoku driver, and landed pretty bad on his neck and head. So hopefully, but this match, this show is not really taken too serious, as it's kind of like the Night of Hoopla from last year. But it's still something, it's kind of cool that ROH is doing this show. This is on October 9th, which is, I believe, a Thursday. It's going to be in Chicago. Now, the next show, which is Saturday, October 11th, Champions vs. All-Stars. The main event, Champions vs. the All-Stars. World Champion Jay Briscoe, World Tag Champs Red Dragon, World TV Champ Jay Lethal with Truth Martini versus Adam Cole, Mark Briscoe, Roger Strong, and ACH. Also on this card is The Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels versus Cedric Alexander. Frankie Kazarian versus Deca Jimmy Jacobs. BJ Whitmer plus more. That's all that's announced for this show. Now to talk about Michael Elgin's situation with ROH. As Elgin tweeted Monday, I said this on our call, thank you for getting me back home, but an article doesn't fix lies and damage done. I quit. This is Elgin responding to ROH tweeting that he will be at the Champions vs. All-Stars event, I believe, but he has not been booked. So he later replied to a fan saying it's bullshit, but ROH said, yep, I tried to do it probably, but promoting for a show I won't be at is not my bullshit move. So this is interesting, as ROH might have done these type of weird storylines in the past, but who knows if this is legit or it's part of a storyline. We'll all have to just wait and find out, but this is definitely intriguing. This is a definitely intriguing situation for both parties, ROH and Michael Elgin. And to wrap up this, before I forget, is that Kenny Omega, who wrestled in ROH before, back in like 2009, 2010, is that he has exclusively signed a deal with New Japan after wrestling for the Japanese promotion DDT for the past like 6 years. Omega is obviously a big deal in PWG, as he made his return at Bola this year. So good for Kenny Omega getting into New Japan. And that's pretty much it for this week, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at JDVirgilio4. That's at JDIVIRGILIO4. And check me on IndieCorner.com, writing ROH TV reviews and whenever I think of an indie wrestling article to write. Thanks for listening, guys. Support the Indie Corner. Support indie wrestling. I'm out.